And open our Bibles up tonight, going back to the fourth chapter of Philippians. And we left off in the eighth verse, but I'd like to go ahead and read from the first verse down through verse 9 tonight. And that again is the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, the lovers of the race. Praise be to God. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Doesn't that make your hair kind of stand up and your heart start pumping? Is he speaking to you? You know it. Just be attentive. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Let's read that again. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, I beseech Synth, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He had to remind them a little bit, didn't he? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And here we go tonight. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. And notice this word finally here is not a conclusion, but this word finally in this sweet eighth verse is truly a completion. It's a going forward on into the race. And praise be to God, there it is. And I think we best pay attention, especially when we hear words like that. Be ready. We're going on. We're going in. It's time. Now, as we get into this tonight, you'll notice that there were these six sweet qualities mentioned in this eighth verse. And many times I've heard this said, that these wonderful workings of the Spirit are somewhat compared to the fruit of the Spirit that's listed in Galatians 5. And I would agree that, yes, both can only be through the enabling of the Holy Spirit. We know this. God has to do this by my Spirit, saith the Lord. But I want you to know that I believe in my heart of hearts that these are very, very different things. If you look at the fruit there in Galatians, and I'm talking about the love, the joy, the peace, and so on, it's the outward testimony of the Spirit's inner working, and it's a precious thing. But tonight, as we get into this, and I really believe maybe for the next couple of weeks here, I will hurry through it, because it only might be 2 weeks. Never know, it could be longer. But I know we're on a time restraint. But the six that are in here, brothers and sisters, it's the intimate inner workings truly only known between the Lamb and His wife. They're really the intent of the heart. And it's a precious thing to think that we have a God that is so intimate. And I think how opposite most people think of God is so infinite, which He is, don't get me wrong. He is so infinite, but the beauty about our Lord is He's so intimate, and He's so concerned with you, and He's so concerned with me, and that is the beauty of this Savior. That's the beauty of the Lamb, and praise the Lord, that's the beauty of the Lamb's wife. She gets it. She's been quickened to understand, man, grace can give me all of this word and have me to believe it. And the Spirit can have me rightfully divide it, and I can see these things by the grace of God, not just afar off, but I can actually see them for me. I can see them alive in me because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, it says here to think on these things in the ninth verse. These are things to be thought upon. The word here is bringing this out to us, that this is of the mind, the very intents of the heart. And if you read these things and are really sincere about it and understand who we are but for God, these things could only be from His mind. These could only be the mind of Christ things that could be thought of here. And when you think upon these things, brothers and sisters, God, by His grace, is enabling us to desire to be transformed from this world. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. And it's only grace that does that. He gives us the desire. It's there, praise the Lord, but He even has to open the heart, as we know the Word of God tells us, for us to receive it. And these are the vessels that, by God's grace, accepting this grace, that truly believe that now I am seated in the heavens with Christ, that now I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I am so thankful when people tell me, don't get me wrong, have a blessed day. I won't ever tell you that. You've already got it. I just won't. Not for any reason, except I know you're already blessed. Live it. Praise the Lord. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. Know who you are in Christ. We rejoiced just a wee bit of that on Sunday. Praise His name. But now, brothers and sisters, these ones that see that, that have embraced that precious truth, the reality of who Christ is in us, are having it worked in them, brothers and sisters, and it truly is by the renewing of their mind. And you know that verse I'm speaking of there in Romans 12, 2. But that renewing means a complete change. That word renewing means a new one. That word renewing means His mind. That's His very mind. And what that does in us, brothers and sisters, is it proves the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen, it does. And that perfect will is grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that is something, brothers and sisters, that we should be about, because this is what God is after in us. This is the very mind of the goodly pearl. This is the mind, praise God, of the Shulamite, as she finally utters in absolute rejoicing of heart, I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. Praise God. See, there is a rest to the people of God, but let me tell you something, there is a rest beyond to the wife who hath made herself ready. Now, in studying this out, these two verses, the Lord has led me for this time to rightfully divide this gold mine here in verses 8 and 9 from the bottom up. So we're going to begin with, by God's grace, the peace of God that shall be with you. The result of these two sweet verses here. And remember, He mentioned it up earlier last week. We read about this sweet peace. We had the peace of God in verse 7 that passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. And now, praise the Lord, here we have this peace of God that shall be with you. Now you think of an accompaniment, you think of a partner, you think of a relationship, you think of an intimacy, you think of a fellowship, you think of that table meant for two. Praise be to God. I'm loving this because this is the very peace of God that He has and shares with this wondrous, wondrous company, this bridal company, His readied wife. Now again, this is what God is aiming for in our lives. And this is one of the most difficult, I believe, realities of truth for God's precious people to really accept. And what I mean by that is, especially those who know of the doctrine, to really come to terms with this. The evidence, brothers and sisters, the evidence of meditating, thinking, dwelling on these things that we read about here in verse 8, the evidence of it is the life will exude, it will emote, it will display the very peace of God. It will. It can't help it. It just rests. There's a beauty, there's an elegance to that life. It's noted, it's recognized, it's appreciated, it's treasured by God's grace, first and foremost by Him, but especially by the body. Praise the Lord. It appreciates the joints that supply so richly the things of God so freely one to another. But let's even back up just a little bit from this. Where does peace come from? Think about that. Where does peace come from? Grace. Peace comes from grace. Over and over throughout the Word of God, you'll see this. Grace and peace. We've heard it many times, haven't we, over the years? You will never have peace without grace. There cannot be peace without grace. It's just as Christians that you'll know that absolutely we are all saved by one thing, the blood. But after that, many depart very quickly from the grace of God and somehow, some way, get tangled up into some type of self-works. Somehow I'm going to be appreciated. Somehow I'm going to be accepted by something I'm going to bring with Cain to the altar. It's not going to work that way, is it? Praise the Lord. It's the Lamb of God. It will always be the Lamb of God. It will only be the blood of the Lamb. And that is what's poured all over the mercy seat. It's the blood. And if you remember those sweet cherubim, the ones that represent those four living ones, those ones that do receive by God's grace that invitation into the midst of the throne, their eyes are affixed on the mercy seat. Their eyes are affixed on the blood of the Lamb. It has never changed. It's all by the precious grace of that freely shed blood. Praise His name for the simplicity. And how could we not rejoice in it all the time? Lord, it's You. Praise God, it's You. Praise God, it is Christ in me that is the hope of glory. It's not me, it's Christ in me. It's us in Christ and Christ in us. We are His workmanship. And thanks be to God that He is the one that's taking that lump of clay, useless by itself, but oh my goodness, in His hands, what it can be. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what we need to know, is that throughout the Word of God, it is grace. And this grace goes for all things. See, it's not just grace for yourself. It's grace for others. It's just grace upon grace. That's what it is. He's gracious. He's full of grace. He's full of truth and grace. It's wonderful. But if our lives are caught up or consumed over and over with wrestling, or strife or contention, brothers and sisters, we need to be honest with ourselves. This is an important time. You're here. God's dealing with you. He wants a readied wife. What are you dwelling on? What are you thinking about? What captivates your thoughts? Amen. We see each other an hour on a Sunday, an hour on a Wednesday, and an hour on a Friday. I can't really do the math that well, but what is that, about 1%? Come on. What are we dwelling upon? If we're not meditating on these things that He lists here, we're not dwelling and living in the peace of God. I was thinking about that. Pilots even know. And there's some, I guess, those YouTube videos that show some that forget. When your plane is tethered down, that means, you know, there's like a rope hanging on the wing and tied down or something of that nature. It's not a good time to try to take off. You'll rip a wing off. Won't be airworthy after that. How much more the people of God lay aside some of the weights? Every weight. Every weight. How high do you want to fly? I want to fly so high by God's grace there's a meeting in the air. Come on. Praise the Lord. And that's all He's asking us, is to lay it aside. Meditate on Me. Think about Me. He's a jealous God, isn't He? He wants your attention. He wants your affection. He wants us on this precious eighth verse. This is the evidence of Christ. And not necessarily to others, these little things in here, but they all add up to one very important thing, and that is the peace of God. Brothers and sisters, think about the peace that he's speaking of here. He's thinking about the rest of God. The rest of God. Isn't that amazing? See, that's the same rest that he's dealing with these saints about. The rest that abides in a wife that is expecting her husband. She rests that he's coming. She rests in his love alone for her. There's nothing that is distracting her. She's beyond content. She's joyful in all things. She's waiting for the appearing of her bridegroom. There's nothing that rattles her. There's nothing that consumes her. She's just in love. And she's waiting for that glorious moment when she sees him face to face. Now, I don't know if many or any of you, but I'm sure there's quite a few. If you can remember back when you were so heatly in love with that someone, and I believe it's grown, don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm saying. Before you're together forever. But see, God's even got this special grace that it's going to even magnify out when we see him. But if you remember how you so longed to be with that person, how you so longed to see their face always, to touch them, to be with them, to look into their eyes. Brothers and sisters, this is what he's talking about here. This is this precious relationship and this joyfulness and this glorious moment that has her whole attention captivated. She wants to see Jesus. She wants to see her lover. I mean, I'm telling you, I can remember back my friends telling me, you know, when I was waiting to marry my wife, did you hear what I said? You don't even listen to me anymore. There wasn't anything else in my mind. Is that kind of how it's getting a little bit by God's grace with Jesus Christ? I believe it is, isn't it? The things that used to be so important, that we thought were so pressing, that we thought were so urgent. As a sweet sister said to her granddaughter, you know, honey, things just don't matter much. I love that. The simplicity, things just, matter of fact, they don't matter. Put it where it needs to be by God's grace on that precious, lovely lamb. Now, all believers, brothers and sisters, they have peace with God. Amen. Whether or not they want to think that they do or not, God help them. They do have peace with God. The blood gave you peace with God. But this is the peace of God. And this peace of God is for the mature in faith. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Listen to that. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are we thinking? What are we dwelling upon? Well, that's who we are. That's the Word of God. You can tell me something different, but what consumes your thoughts is who you are. Go back, meditate upon verse 8. Has God allowed this to rest in your heart? Has God allowed by his grace, have you seized this and apprehended this to rest upon your heart? All right. I can testify of 2 Corinthians 10:5 that truly, and I believe you can too, that only when my thoughts are brought into captivity, and I'm talking about all my thoughts brought into captivity of Jesus Christ, is there real peace reigning. Amen? Amen. And I'm thankful to the Lord it's at those urgent times that he really has to captivate them. He'll give you those times where, like Brother Justin, in that accident, I'm confident when he saw his wife so injured, well, I'll tell you what, there had to be some captivating thought right there. Or he would have lost it in all different directions. But there was a peace that passed all understanding. Not because of who he is, but of who Christ is in him. And the grace of God that had him to call out on the I am. And it was just so that the I am was there all the time. And praise the Lord, there was a peace. And praise God of the effectual working of faith. Now, I was reminded the other day of a little excerpt that I had read about a professor dealing with his class, and with some, I guess, a chemistry class, and it was interesting because these were some more educated ones. He held up an empty bottle, and he said to him, "How do you think I can get the air out of this bottle?" You may have heard this before, and one said, "Well, you could suck it out like a vacuum." Another said, "Well, you could blow it out with some other type of gas." He said, "Well, that's really interesting. A lot of energy there. How about let's pour water into it?" Everybody said, "Well, yeah, I guess that would work." Well, I hope you understand the type that's so sweetly there in the Word of God over and over. See, whether it was the wine that was poured into the wineskin that removed the sediments out, but my favorite is, as Brother David said, "What can I render unto the Lord?" He said, "Oh, take of the cup of salvation, son, and drink." Praise the Lord. The simplicity of God, just fill me with your goodness. It takes care of all the rest. Psalms 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Brothers and sisters, when this truly becomes our meditation, we combat the evil, the wiles of the devil with "it is written." Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. Christians, for the most part, they do believe God. I believe they do believe God. The problem is they don't know the Word of God. What they can believe, how powerful he is, how for them he is. How much of the power of God are you letting in your life? How much of the power of God are you going to allow him to rule and to reign in you? Amen. Come boldly. I want it all. I want to believe every bit. Praise the Lord. It's that sweet brother back there in Missouri. Well, I read that and he said, "Well, I need that." And I read that about the Holy Spirit and he said, "I need that." And he read about the bride, and he said, "Well, you know what? I need that." Well, sure you need it. God said you did. But we just happen to be smarter than God, we think. Taking bits and pieces of the Word of God instead of saying, "Lord, just let it work effectually. Lord, I believe. And yes, Lord, I receive." Hallelujah. The simplicity of faith. Now, how glorious, brothers and sisters, that it is the word of his grace that does it all. It's the word of his grace that gives us an inheritance, that grows us up into him in all things. But are we as Paul, as we read on Sunday, are we as Paul, and that the grace given was not bestowed on us in vain? Do you know how thick the grace of God is on your life? I mean, do you realize how much a step between you and death? How many times over and over, I don't even need to finish it, do I? Come on, let's just be honest. But grace so abundantly free, that's what grace is. But just poured out and poured on. But brothers and sisters, only through yielding to it is it going to abound in us. We can talk about it. I could watch it work in you. I can see it all over in this meeting. But what about me? Praise the Lord. That's what it is. Praise God. That grace is for you. That grace is for my life. And it's effectual working grace. And like I said, think about what that grace of God is. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Do you realize what grace has made you? It's going to take eternities. to even begin to remotely reveal. Even the most infant child know that. But why stop there? I want to see him like he is. Praise God. Now, you notice here, brothers and sisters, that this peace is beyond all understanding. But notice here again where it comes from. And notice here that the Spirit once again emphasizes it's those things which ye both learned, received, and heard, and seen in your experience. Learned, seen, heard in self-help books. Learned, received, heard, and seen in what you experienced growing up in this religion or that religion. Do you see how simple this is? What does it say there? That ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. And in case you didn't remember, that's Brother Paul speaking. Encouraged of the Holy Spirit, the very word of God in me. And so sweetly as he says, do. And now this is a precious word, this word do. A lot of people says, okay, what do I got to do? That's not what this do is. This do means let. And you can go look it up. It means let it be exercised. It means let it be performed. It means let it be accomplished. And notice, this let upon let is a yielding to a power that is already there to take control. Isn't that crazy? And yet we fight it all the time. When we try. But when we let God, when we let the new man live and reign, the man that I am in Christ, praise God. That's when that man will grow up. Praise his name. Led by the Spirit, moving in everything, in truth and love. This is a glorious sort. She's beautiful from every angle. She's perfect in her symmetry. Praise God, oh, the marvels and the working of grace. I love this study. Praise his name. Now, how about this? And let's not be shy to believe the word and to profess what this is saying here. Brother Paul had to be really encouraged of the Lord to say, in me, didn't he? Amen? Because he wasn't boasting of him. He was boasting of what was in me. It wasn't me. It was in me. See the difference? See, we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ in me. Praise the Lord. And this is this precious truth, brothers and sisters. We read in the third chapter, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. There were others. There will be others. Mark that faith and mark that love and know it. And brothers and sisters, as I've said many times before, and you may have heard it other places, great faith to those that aren't mature in it and those that don't know nothing about it often can come across because of their infancy can be proud or too bold. Let me tell you something, you can never be too bold in the Lord. And you can never be not ashamed enough. Or I'll say it this way, proud of the gospel of Christ. I'm thankful of my Lord. I'm grateful for him. I give him all the glory. And praise be to God. God forbid if I ever stop and that I would limit it, especially when I have opportunity to tell you how great he is. And how marvelous and how wonderful and how his ways are so past finding out. But yet he deals with the likes of us and he wants us to know. I'm thankful to God I didn't stop when he said, eye has not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. I love that verse, but I love the next one. but by my Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. We rejoice that Brother Paul didn't stop in Romans 7. He went on to Romans 8. And praise the Lord, he started rejoicing. You mean I can rule and reign together with him? I can be glorified together with him? One, jointly. I'm going to make known to them that I have loved thee and have them come and bow down and worship before your feet. You talk about a oneness. You talk about glory that she's received. Remember, there's no glory but of him. But I sure was an emptied vessel to receive it. Praise be to God. Isn't that what it's about? Vessels prepared afore unto glory. Take the lid off. Take the lid off. All the way off. Matter of fact, throw it away. Full and overflowing. Sweet Brother Bobby was telling me about some of the Asian customs. And one that was so sweet to him is, you know, when they fill your teacup up, if they overflow and it spills over, that wasn't an oops or an accident. That's good luck. What do you think? Full and overflowing. See, it all comes from the Word. They use a lot of different things, but praise the Lord. Does he speak with you things like that too? Or are you beyond that? Oh, I'd never think that way. God help you, you should think that way. You better start seeing the Lord in the squirrels in the trees and the birds in the air and the clouds in the sky. Or you miss the glory of the Lord because he's everywhere around you. I feel sorry for people that don't. I really do. But brothers and sisters, he says, in me. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, doesn't he? Be followers of me as I follow him. The secrets of men shall be judged by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Did you hear that? No, if I really believe the word of God and I heard that verse, I say, what did he say? That was important. Who said that? Brother Paul. Who really said that? The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. Amen. But think about what's being said. That's Romans 2:6. Be followers together of me. And notice it wasn't individually, together, oneness. That's Philippians 3:17. We studied that already. Paul was the chosen vessel unto God, Acts 9:15. The apostle to the Gentile, Romans 11:13. The vessel made a minister, listen to this one, according to the dispensation of God, which was to him for us to complete the word of God, Colossians 1:25. 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. What's it going to take? What's it going to take? When are you going to come out from among them and be ye separate? When are you going to step across the river and start walking through the promise? I love preaching to the choir. Amen, 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 amen. But for those that might be listening that haven't heard this before, what's it going to take? How much clearer could it be? That the mark, the prize, the goal, the crown is Paul's gospel. Yes, it is the Lord's gospel, don't get me wrong. But this was the vessel that the mystery of Christ, the dispensation to complete the word of God, listen to that, was brought through. how much more clear and simple could it be? But my religion says this. My mind says it couldn't be. Well, I think you're starting to worship or give honor to. No, we're not. Oh, no. I'm just giving you the word of God. And I'm rejoicing for a brother of like precious faith who's rejoicing in a time and in a moment in spirit for even us tonight. That he said, not unto me only, but unto all them also, that love is appearing. That's exciting. That's so transcending. That's so beyond. It's so perfect. It's so absolutely wonderful. This is the exalted rank of righteousness crowning message. And that's exactly what it means in the Greek, a crown of righteousness. How could we not repeat it over and over? Sunc laronimus, joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. He picks his words. He chooses his words. His words are divine. It's the only divine word there is. The jointly reigning, jointly suffering, glorified together with him as one wife. My goodness. This in me. It's here.
Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Be ready. Be wise.
And his timing is perfect, so while every head is bowed. Lord, we thank you again for this time. We're grateful to God that you're quickening us in the faith which worketh by love to believe you, Lord, and to believe you in all things. God, yea, the deep things. Lord, thank you for the simplicity that's here in your deep things. Because it's by your Spirit. You're not a respecter of person. God, there's a vision that you see for your people. There's a vision so freely that you want each and every one of your children to embrace. And that is the vision that you will have a wife. And she is ready. And she has grown up into you in all things. And she has come out from among them. And she has come out from among the camp. But she only did that by coming unto you first. Lord, I thank you for that grace. I thank you for that drawing. I thank you that you've called us. You've chosen us, Lord. In ages past, you saw this beautiful work that would come, that would be enriched, Lord, because of what you have provided. The plan and the power. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. May it be more real and more encouraging, more exciting and more loving. Every single moment, we're so grateful for this time, a time of great gain, because we give you all the glory, because you're the only magnificent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.